Welcome to the Insomnia Stream. Do it live edition. Because we're doing it live! I'm your host, of course, Devin Stack. And I feel like I'm dying. But the show must go on. Oh, I don't know what I did. You know what I think it was? I shouldn't have trusted this whole unholy alliance, this forced unholy alliance that Elon is trying to conduct on Twitter between Japanese racists and white people racists. See, we're not so different. We're not so different, you and I. That's how they try to weasel in. That's how they try to worm their way in. See, look at that. They're honorary. In this little fucking love fest, this fucking slant-eyed, jappy, gooky fucking love fest that's going on this whole Twitter thing. This X, formerly known as Twitter thing. There was some post. Oh, there were some funny ones, too. But there was this post. I was suckered by a post. I'm going to blame this. Because I felt fine before I did this. There was this post that said, oh, yeah, the Japanese, they're so smart. And exotic. And they do this quirky thing. They do this quirky thing that Americans don't do. And it's weird because they mix these two American things together and it makes this amazing Japanese delicacy. And these two things, apparently it was Coca-Cola and peanuts. I know that sounds retarded already, but that's what I was like, huh. You mean Japanese people, they fill a glass up with Coke and then they pour peanuts into the Coke. All right. Well, that's like easy to replicate. Yeah. Like even out here in the middle of nowhere, I can acquire peanuts and Coca-Cola. So I don't even know why I did it. On a whim, I was just like, I'm going to try it. Whatever. I actually read there was like this way too long post, this like page long post where some guy who I should never have trusted it spent entirely too much time trying to like break down chemically why this was actually the most perfect. I mean, he really sold it. I almost feel like he worked for the peanut lobby in conjunction with Coca-Cola. Because it sold me. I was like, damn, this guy's really, he's making a good argument here for like the chemical reaction between peanuts and Coca-Cola creating this new flavor. New flavor that the Japanese have unlocked and kept secret. And now I'm gonna have this secret flavor. I like peanuts. And I like Coca-Cola. What could go wrong? And so I went to the store and I got some Coca-Cola. And I got some peanuts. And I was pretty excited when I came home. I was like, this is going to be great. You know, it's unlocking some, like, chemical thing. I guess, like, the carbonation does some kind of, you know, it somehow exacerbates the peanut chemical composition neutralization. I don't know. It's some crazy bullshit, right? Somehow it mixes up with the something or not. I don't even know. I don't remember any of that. And so I did it. I poured Coke in a glass and dumped peanuts in it. And I was like, all right, it's fizzing up. Is it supposed to do this? Is this the magic unlocking the flavor? And it fizzed up a little bit. I don't know. Is there like a time I'm supposed to wait? Do the peanuts get soggy if I wait too long? And then I was just like, fuck it. I guess I'm going to try it. And would you believe it tastes like peanuts in Coca-Cola? Like, that's all it tastes like. It just tastes like you put some peanuts in a glass of Coke. There's no flavor that gets unlocked. There's just the two distinct flavors of peanuts and Coca-Cola in your mouth at the same time. In fact, I was thinking about this. Like, this has probably happened before in my mouth. I've probably been eating peanuts and drinking Coca-Cola before. And I don't think I had like some kind of flavor orgasm while that was going on. Why do I think this is going to be something special? I was really disappointed. And then about an hour later, I started feeling like I was dying. So I felt like shit all day. Some of those peanuts have felt as though they want to come out the way they came in. So I've been feeling not great. Not great since the Japanese delicacy of peanuts and Coca-Cola. So don't fall for the scam. Do not fall for that scam. But yeah, I've been feeling like shit all day. I was going to be doing like a moon stream. And it's just like, I'll tell you, man, the amount of tard that you have to get through, for some, like these videos I'm more shocked that they convince people of anything. Like I asked for, you know, hey, give me your best videos. What are the best videos for those of you who don't think that we landed on the moon? Surely. There's like, you know, like here's the documentary that changed my mind or whatever that has the proof. And the stuff that people sent me, it's like, what are we doing here, guys? This is what convinced you. Like, this is what convinced you that, okay. And they're always really long, like way longer than they need to be. Like way longer than they need to be. Like 3.5 hours. 3.5 hours where a lot of it is like, a lot of it's just like, it's not how I would expect it to be. And so therefore it's not real. It's like, really? It doesn't seem right to you. That's the argument? It doesn't feel right. Like that's the argument that you're going with. Like, oh yeah, I feel like it would be like this. Well, what are you basing that on exactly? Right? Because when you were at the moon yesterday, like you witnessed something else, and this looks out of the ordinary because you're always on the moon. Is that it? Or are you basing this on like television shows and movies and your imagination? And rather than say to yourself, huh, I would have thought it would be different than this, obviously my expectation was wrong. I wonder why that is. No. See, the personality type that embraces these kinds of conspiracy, you know, you can see the correlation here. No. It's never that my expectation might have just been wrong about something. No. Reality's wrong. If I expect it to be a certain way and it's not that way, well, then all of physics is a lie. And so you're having to just sift through a bunch of shit, and it's like, I don't want to do like a 12-hour fucking stream going over 3 hours of fucking bullshit. So what are like the good ones? And it's like, and I'm looking through, I'm trying to find like the good ones the whole time, trying not to vomit on my keyboard. And I'm just like, what's going on? Like, who is this convincing? Who is this convincing exactly? And some of these people, they're just so dishonest, like that Bart Sibel or Sibrel or whatever his name is. He's just so dishonest. And you see this a lot, and it kind of makes sense, right? Because that's his whole career now, right? That's his whole business model. And so you see a lot of parallels between that guy and like Flat Earth Dave, where Flat Earth Dave will bring up some Flat Earth talking point on a live stream. And then he'll be confronted with basically impossible to refute proof that particular point is wrong. And in that discussion, he won't concede because they never do, but he'll stop using that talking point because it's clear to anyone watching that interaction that talking point is now invalid and he just got something wrong. Now, he'll never admit that, but he should at least at that moment know, okay, I can never use this talking point again because it's clearly wrong. He'll be on a stream the next week using that exact same talking point, knowing now, you know that he has to know that it's wrong. He's just hoping that the audience didn't watch the other live stream, and because his entire identity is wrapped up in Flat Earth and his entire financial future is wrapped up in Flat Earth, he'll never give up anything. You know, not a single talking point. And I've noticed the same behavior with this Bart fucking guy. And I'll give you a perfect fucking example. Perfect fucking example. And actually, you know, this is another thing too. That it's not understanding what the fuck you're talking about, but being really fucking confident about it, right? So one of the things I was looking at, because you see the flat earthers and moon people, like they use the same strategy of I won't tell you why I think this is ridiculous. I'll laugh hysterically at it. And that is the argument. Ho, 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 look how ridiculous this is. Ho, 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 ho. And you're just like, what? What's ridiculous? What's the part you have a problem with? And they'll just be like, but look, just look. Ha, 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 ha. Just look at the thing. And you're like, okay, what do you have the problem with? And the thing in this case was the phone call. The phone call with the astronauts and Nixon. And they're like, oh, look, they think they can make a phone call from the moon. And it's like, yeah, do you know what phones are? Like, really, this is what I'm talking about when people just treat technology like it's a mystery box. Like their cell phone in their hand, and they don't know what it is. It's just this magic little black mirror in their pocket that they take out and they can touch it like a fucking chimpanzee and play with apps or whatever. They have no idea what the hell's going on behind the other side of that piece of glass. No idea at all. It's all just magic to them. And so when they see Nixon on like an old-timey phone call, I don't know, what's the argument? Like, you think there should be a fiber optic cable going to the moon? Like, what do you think, what's lacking? Like, what's missing? What's the problem with this picture? And they don't know. They don't know. It just seems weird that you could do that, but they don't even know why. And I was watching some interview with Bart Sobrell. I think that's his last name, whatever it is. And he was complaining about, oh, yeah, well, they could never do a phone call like that. There'd be like this huge delay. And there is a delay. I mean, just for those who don't know why it wouldn't be ridiculous is radio waves travel at the speed of light. And you're talking to mission control with radios the radio waves of which are traveling at the speed of light. It's not hard to patch the audio. In fact, I've got a ham radio from that era, from literally 1969, that has a phone patch in it that can do exactly this. You can hook up the radio into a phone line and then dial someone up. In fact, I even hooked mine up just to do it up to a Bluetooth like phone line thing so I could actually phone patch. It's called a phone patch. So I could phone patch people in via cell phone just to do it. It's not really useful nowadays, obviously. But back then, it was a common thing because you didn't have long distance lines. So, for example, Vietnam, which was going on at the time, a lot of ham radio operators when they'd reach someone that was in Vietnam, like, cause you know, they had radios out there, they would call the soldier's family and do a phone patch so they could talk to their family over the radio. This was like a normal thing. This was a normal thing ham radio operators did as a service to servicemen that were out in Vietnam. Literally during the exact same time period. The only difference is the distance. And yeah, the distance is significant, obviously, and that does introduce a delay. but not so much of a delay that you can't have the conversation. Anyway, so this gets mentioned to Bart that, yeah, there'd be a delay, but you know, this isn't that crazy. I mean, it's radio waves coming from the moon to Earth routed through a phone system. And Bart goes, oh yeah, well, because yeah, right. Because think of all the old analog systems it would have to go through. The delay would be enormous. Now, for those of you who actually understand technology, I want you to listen to that. All of those old analog systems, the delay would be enormous. I have a news flash for you guys. Analog doesn't just mean old and slow. Analog is actually faster than digital because nothing is getting processed. So when you say something like that, Bart, I know that you don't know what the fuck you're talking about. You think old computers are slower than new computers. And so old pre-computer stuff would be even slower. Actually, no. In fact, that same radio I was talking about that I've got from 1969, if I put that right next to my radio that was manufactured in 2023 that has a SDR, a digital processing radio, side by side, and I have them receive the exact same signal, there's actually a delay on the 2023 radio. Because that radio signal is being received and digitized and processed and going through this whole... it's fast. I mean, there's a processor that's really fast, and it's not like super delayed, but it's enough to where you can measure it. And in the analog radio that has glowing vacuum tubes, it's instantaneous because everything within that radio is moving at the speed of light. Because in analog systems, everything's moving at the speed of light. And so, aside from distance, because electrons or radio waves or photons or whatever is carrying that signal, maybe if there's longer distances it has to go, that'll slow it down. But there's no digital processing happening ever. And so there's no delay at all. I mean, aside from, you know, the distance. And for him to make a comment like that revealed that he didn't know fuck all about one of these. I mean, this is a guy who's dedicated his life to saying that this is all fake and this is one of his big talking points. And that's like a major misunderstanding of just a basic part of his talking point. For him to just say that just really reveals that he doesn't know what the fuck he's talking about. And so often in these videos that people have sent me, I'm looking at this stuff and I'm just like, the lack of understanding of just like the basic topic being discussed here, it really makes it hard to, you know, to almost sit through some of this stuff. And then again, I was like, I really feel like vomiting on my keyboard because of those fucking peanuts and Coca-Cola. I really considered like doing that. I'm not doing the show. I'm not doing it. I can't handle it. I've got like a low grade fever. But then I remembered, you know, I remember Bill O'Reilly, wise Bill O'Reilly with his wise words. That when things don't go right, you don't quit. You always stick with it.
That's tomorrow. And that is it for us today. Okay, I don't know. Whatever it is, it's not right on a teleprompter. I don't know what that is. I've never seen that.
No, there is. We are going to do Sting, yeah.
Okay, but... Okay. Now, I can't read it. There's no words on it.
Okay. Ready? Sure.
There's no words there to play us out. What does that mean? To play us out?
Sting is going to do, it's a video, Sting video.
What is,
for credits.
I don't know what that means, to play us out. What does that mean? To end the show?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, go, go.
In 5, 4, 3.
That's tomorrow, and that is a...
Okay. In 5, 4, 3.
That's tomorrow, and that is it for us today, and we will leave you with a... I can't do it.
Okay.
We'll do it live.
Okay.
We'll do it live! Fuck it! Do it live! I'll write it, and we'll do it live! Fucking thing sucks!
In 5, 4, 3.
That's tomorrow, and that is it for us today. I'm Bill O'Reilly. Thanks again for watching. We'll leave you with Sting and a cut off his new album. Take it away.
So that's how I felt. I just said, fuck it. I'm going to do it live. Kind of funny. It takes me back from when I used to floor direct. You'd be surprised at how often that's exactly what's going on when the camera is not rolling. Like the second you go to commercial, the sudden, the extreme and abrupt change that that goes on the faces of the people on the other side of the camera there. But anyway, yeah, here we are. So here we are. One thing that I was reminded of when looking at this moon stuff. Reminded of this case here. Some of you guys might know. Some of you guys might not know who this is. If you don't know who this is, you'll know what he inspired. This is MacArthur Wheeler. MacArthur Wheeler. He thought he could become invisible by rubbing lemon juice on his face. You might think to yourself, well, that doesn't make any sense. Why would he think that lemon juice would make him invisible? Well, the reason why he thought lemon juice would make him invisible is he learned that you could make invisible ink with lemon juice. And so he put two and two together and thought that, well, invisible ink, that would mean I could put it on my face and my face would be invisible. In fact, he even tested his theory. See, he was no dummy. No, he was not an idiot. He was super smart. He could see through the lies of NASA. And so, after rubbing lemon juice on his face, he got a Polaroid camera, pointed it at his face, snapped a shot, and wow, sure enough, when he looked at the photo that he had taken, his face was not there. So he now had proof. He now had proof that his logic was sound. He had done an experiment. You know, the lemon, you know, his train of thought really makes sense. You know, like, well, lemon juice is invisible ink. So therefore, I can put invisible ink on my face and my face will disappear. And I know this works because I took a Polaroid photo of myself after putting lemon juice in my eyes, which made it impossible for me to see where I was pointing the camera. So I actually just pointed up at the ceiling. But I was convinced because my methods are always sound and it's the whole rest of the world that's crazy. I looked at the results of the test, the poorly performed test that I had done, and concluded that I indeed was invisible. I indeed was invisible. And so he went and robbed a bank. This is in 1995. He walked into two different banks in Pittsburgh, robbed them with no mask, no disguise, just reeking of lemon juice. He even looked at the security cameras directly and grinned at them with duper's delight. He was like, ha ha ha, they can't even see me, these mere mortals that don't know about the lemon juice trick that makes you invisible. So police aired the footage, including this still shot right here, and they found out who he was and had him arrested within an hour. When they brought him in, they showed him the tape. And he said, but I wore the juice. He was shocked that his theory and his experiment was actually flawed. Reality ended up catching up with MacArthur Wheeler. Now, this story is the story that actually inspired David Dunning and Justin Kruger to publish their 1999 paper defining the Dunning-Kruger effect, the cognitive bias where people with low ability drastically overestimate their own competence. And I think that really sums up a lot of what I see from people viciously arguing about the moon landing. It's people that with low ability who are drastically overestimating their own competence. I think that's a good way to put it. And the examples are endless. Again, I'll probably do a moon stream just to show you the specifics. There's so many examples, you know, like just from like the little bit of interaction I had with people on X over the last few days. You know, people that people that don't know and people saying, for example, oh, how does a rocket even work in space? Well, what do you mean? How does a rocket work in space? There's no air. Yeah, there's no air. Yeah, we get it. There's no air in space. Well, then how does a rocket work? What are you talking? Do you think a rocket is like a helicopter? Do you think a rocket is like a propeller? That it's actually using air? It's cutting through the air to propel itself forward? Because that's not what's happening. But yes, that's what they think. Because they don't know anything about physics. They don't know anything about Newton's third law. They don't know anything about the fuel that's used within a rocket. You know, like you don't need the oxygen in and around for the ignition because that's part of the fuel. I mean, some of the rockets, you know, that's what it is. It's like kerosene on one side and oxygen on the other, and they oxidize it. And because you do need the oxygen for the ignition to take place, but that's part of the fuel that's in there. And for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. And so when you ignite the fuel and that creates that high pressure, high heat reaction that is expelled rapidly out of the nozzle in the rocket, it doesn't matter. There's not air. It's not pushing against air. That's not That's not how this works. This is not, it's not an airplane. There's no aerodynamics involved here. In fact, when in the once you pull away from the forces of gravity that the Earth has, it's quite, you don't need much of anything in terms of thrust to move yourself around, because you're not, you know, you're not battling against gravity. But yeah, it's these people that very confidently state, well, how would that even work? What are you talking about? How would that even work? Like, it works all the time. Yeah, you know, it's just they watch some YouTube video of some guy, you know, that told them it didn't work. that's really what it amounts to. It's like you're so convinced that everyone's been tricked but you. But all of your information is coming from some guy on YouTube that tricked you. You've never conducted any experiments on your own. You don't understand the underlying technology. You don't understand the physics at play. You don't. And look, it'd be one thing to not know it and have a question, right? It'd be one thing to be like, well, that, because it's not intuitive, right? It's not intuitive. We're not in space, you know? Like, nothing that you're going to see that happens in space or in 1/6 Earth gravity or, you know, none of these things, it's not going to be something that you see ever. And so it's okay to be like, well, this seems a little odd, because it's, you know, you've never spent the day on the moon. And so you don't, you know, you have nothing to compare it to. And so when you do create expectations, they're probably not going to, you know, you're not going to get it exactly right. There's going to be things, there's going to be factors you're not going to think of. And so you'll watch footage and something will look weird. You'll be like, why does that look weird? Well, it looks weird because if that same thing had happened on Earth, it wouldn't look like that. And so every time you've seen something like that, it hasn't looked like that. So, and your expectation that it should look like that is probably driven by the fact that every time you've seen something like that, it's been on Earth. And so when that same thing happens on the moon and it looks not the way you think it should, that would make sense that it would look odd, maybe have an uncanny valley kind of thing going on. But that's not the problem. That's I think perfectly normal. The problem is when people see this kind of a thing and their reaction to it, therefore, is to say, well, my expectation is what it should be. Not, well, why wouldn't it be that way? Maybe I should look into why it wouldn't be the way I was expecting. See, that's how you learn. You learn by going, huh, I've created a hypothesis that it would be a certain way. And I've conducted this experiment or made this observation, and it doesn't appear to be the way that my hypothesis laid it out. Well, if you have a rational mind, what you should do is say, well, what was wrong with my hypothesis? What can explain my observation here? And I think that people like Wheeler, Mr. Wheeler here with the lemon juice, that never figures into the equation. They assume, well, there must be something wrong with reality because my expectation was this, and I can't be wrong about stuff. So I must be so smart, I'm seeing the trick that no one else is seeing. And you never learn that way. You never learn that way. And the funny thing is, there's so much technology that exists now that you can re-examine this footage with that a lot of these people claim is, oh, it's so obviously fake because it looks weird. And you're like, okay, well, what looks weird about it? You know, just as an example, people will say, like, oh, the moon buggy driving around, the dust that flies up, it just doesn't look right. And it's like, yeah, it doesn't look right because there is no air. And it's 1/6 gravity. So when you drive around, it's going to kind of fly around in a weird way, because if you were on Earth or anywhere with air, you'd have the turbulence created by the air. And you would have more gravity than, you know, 6 times, in fact, the gravity. And so what you're viewing is something that looks kind of weird, because that's not a environment you've ever seen before. And they'll say, well, it just doesn't look right. Well, unfortunately for them, I guess, or fortunately if they snap out of it, there's actually a lot of image assessment tool or software that exists now where you can actually 3D track items in the footage. And as long as you know the scale of certain things, you can actually plot the rate that things are falling and the distance that they're moving and figure out actually with precision using open source software, 3D tracking software, that the dust is, and every item really in the footage, is following the exact curve of motion that something in 1/6 gravity would fall in. And so if NASA was trying to do some trick by like, oh, we'll slow the footage down or we'll rig them up on wires or whatever, they did it so precisely that it exactly matches what you would see in 1/6 gravity. And this is across the board. You can do this with all the footage, and people have. And it's just, there's so much of technology available now to go back and look at this stuff and analyze it, not through the lens of, well, it looks funny. Oh, LOL, look at that. That doesn't look the way I would expect it to look, and so it's fake. No, you can actually say, well, here's something that would prove that it wasn't right, is if I 3D tracked the movements of this guy, who we know the height of, you know, these astronauts, we know roughly their height when they are in these spacesuits, and we know their weight. I'm pretty sure that's published, in fact. And we can see them moving around, and we can, using these 3D tracking and physics equations, figure out if they're actually moving in a way that you would expect objects of that size and weight to move in 1/6 gravity. And surprise, they do. They really do. So anyway, I will in more detail go through this, some of these things that people think are anomalies. I just don't understand the arguments half the time. Like, I don't understand like I said, with the phone call, like people are like, oh yeah, phone call. It's like, yeah, what? That's like the most easy thing in the world. What are you talking about? Like, they got to the moon. You think they can't talk? They can't talk on a radio? What are you getting at? Like, what's your big disbelief? Like, what? You know, and I get it, like, because I watched a clip of Candace Owens making fun of this the other day. And Candace Owens literally didn't know what thunder was until this year. That's true, by the way. That's true. I don't know if you guys have heard that story. Candace Owens, who's basically a walking Dunning-Kruger effect, told this story openly on camera. She said that she was outside walking with her husband and she heard thunder. And she said, oh, well, we don't have to worry because it's only thundering. There's no lightning. And her husband said, well, I mean, thunder is the sound of lightning. So, I mean, there's there is lightning. And she said, what? I didn't know that. And then she looked at the camera and said, did you guys know that? Did you guys know that thunder was the sound? Am I the only one who didn't? Is that like a girl thing? Is that like a girl thing to not know that? My husband's so smart that he knew that. And that's the kind of person that is shocked that they're making phone calls to the president from the moon. Someone who doesn't know that thunder is the sound of lightning. I mean, it's like shape store shit. It's like, I'm sorry that, like, you, like, what do you think phones are? I mean, you realize that your cell phone is, in fact, a radio, right? Like, that's what it is? Your cell phone's a radio that is using radio waves to communicate with a cell phone tower. And the reason why you can't communicate to a cell phone tower on the moon is the antenna in your iPhone is really tiny. And the power that your iPhone is transmitting at is very low power compared to the antennas and power, you know, watts put out by the transmitters on the moon. And the receivers, for that matter, the massive dishes that they had set up on Earth for receiving those. Which brings me to another thing. This, you know, and again, we'll get into this in more detail, but I'm just, some of these things, I'm just like, I'm just so shocked that it's like a thing. So, Bart Sobrell, or whatever the fuck his name is, one of his big claims is that, well, they didn't go to the moon, they faked it all from low Earth orbit. And this is another thing where it's like, do you not understand the technology? Because let's say they tried to do that. Let's say they shot some people into low Earth orbit, and then they just orbited around and then faked like they were going to the moon for a while, I guess, for a few days, and then came back and were like, we were to the moon, and they just made it all up. Well, here's the problem with that. You can find out where these transmissions that everyone was listening to are coming from. Okay? Again, I know it's hard for the people who don't know, who think apparently that you need a fiber optic cable going to the moon to make a phone call. But radio waves, in addition to moving at the speed of light, through triangulation, are easy to figure out the source of. And every fucking ham radio operator on the planet was trying to listen to those phone calls. Now, not everyone had the equipment to, because the frequencies that they were speaking at. But it was analog, you know. You could hear it. They didn't have any kind of encryption or anything like that back then, because it was analog. And so, if you had these astronauts not flying towards the moon, but instead orbiting the Earth, people would know that those signals were not coming from the direction of the moon really quick. Not just like, I'm not talking like, well, the Russians would know. Well, they would clearly know. Everyone would know. You wouldn't have to be like the other superpower in the world to know this sort of a thing. Everyone would know, like anyone with a radio, like anyone that, like maybe third, you know, maybe Africa wouldn't know, but like, well, South Africa would know, like any country with any kind of radio technology would know. And it would be just glaringly obvious that they weren't coming from the moon. And so that whole theory doesn't even make any sense. Plus, if you're orbiting the Earth, there'd be times, like, you'd have to time it so that it would make sense. Like, because obviously, if you're on the other side of the planet, right, and you're trying to fake that you're going to the moon, there's like half the day or however long, you know, whatever your orbit is, there's going to be chunks of time where you can't talk to mission control because you're on the other side of the fucking planet with your fake orbit, whatever thing you're doing. that everyone would know about anyway. I mean, these are just basic things. They're basic things that, seem really complicated if you don't understand, like, the basic technology involved with this. You know, this, and again, these are all things that that if you've spent your whole life, as Bart has, or at least I've heard of him doing, like, when did he get punched out by Buzz Aldrin? Is that like 20 years ago? I mean, it was a long time ago, right? Or at least 10 years ago. So this guy has been pushing this stuff for at least a decade. And in all this time, he didn't think about just something normal like that. Like, well, wait a second. If they were faking this in low Earth orbit, it's not just like his big issue is like, oh, there's the delay. They faked the delay. They'd have to fake a hell of a lot more than that. Oh, they tricked everyone by using the simulations. Okay, again, they wouldn't be able to trick everyone by using the simulations because the radio signals were being listened to by lots of people. And you'd be able to figure out really fast that they were not coming from the direction of the moon if they were just orbiting around the Earth faking it. So anyway, it really is stunning to me that there's just real basic elementary problems with these theories but because people lack the basic knowledge about the lemon juice, they think they're invisible. So, yeah, I mean, like I said, I'm trying to whittle it down to, because there's some stuff that's so absurd that it's like, do I talk about it? It's hard to tell. Like, some of it's like, I feel like this is dumb, but I guess there's people convinced by it. So do I even, it's like I'm trying to triage. I'm trying to prioritize, like, what's actually, like, what's the least retarded things? So it's not like a 12-hour stream, because they do the same thing what flat earthers do. Like, the second you address one of the things they have a problem with, they don't acknowledge that you have, oh, that thing that convinced me that the Earth was flat 5 minutes ago, I now have to acknowledge that that's not real, and I fell for that. No, there's never any acknowledgement. It's always like, instantly, switch to the next thing. And it's like, okay, and I don't want to be here all night. Just going like, yeah, that's also retarded, and this is why. And especially because a lot of this stuff is, you're going to have to be reliant. I mean, these people have already proven that they don't have a good grasp on technology and physics and stuff. And so how granular do you get, right? Like, do I have to turn this into like a high school physics class and, just to get them in, get their foot in the door with some of this stuff? I don't know. But anyway. Anyway. White people do amazing things. White people do amazing things, and I don't think that you should be ashamed of that. I think that I don't understand the desire for it to be fake. There are some people that, I mean, look, there are obviously some religious retards that like think that the Earth has to be flat or God stops existing or something like that. And so, there's those people. But there's some people that just need it to be fake for some reason. And some of it is like the Q-tard stuff where at some point in their life, it made them feel like they were in on some secret knowledge. And so even now, even if you actually were to rationally explain why it was wrong, they'd resist it because it would mean that they got tricked and they wouldn't want to feel like they got tricked. And so they would be trying, they would double and triple and quadruple down and try to find reasons why they weren't tricked. And when really they should just admire the creativity of white people. Like this. See, this is the kind of ingenuity that we had in this country before we got overrun with negs. This is in 1948. In 1948, 76 beavers were dropped from an airplane with parachutes. And all but one survived. See, we do this all the time. We do crazy, risky shit. Because we're white people and we do the math and we figure it out. We do experiments. That same sort of a thing. All right? This started out because they had beavers that were causing problems in these small towns. They were like chewing up the place. And they didn't want to get rid of, you know, they don't want to just start killing beavers because we're white people. We're nice. We like animals. But we couldn't have them going around just chewing up the place. And not only that, they were kind of like mean. They were like biting people and shit. So the wildlife department was like, okay, we're going to take them out to some remote area, you know, away from humans, and release them into the wild, and they can build, they can go, you know, build beaver colonies out away from the people. And so they tried to do it, you know, in not such a flashy way as throwing them out of an airplane. They decided first, well, we'll be normal people. We'll put them in cages, and we'll haul them in inland with on mules. It was 1948. We still use mules for things. But the problem was the beavers would freak out in their cages and I guess created some kind of like fear smell that beavers do. And it would make the mules lose their shit, and it became like this big fiasco. And a bunch of the animals got ran off and got lost. And so one of the guys that worked there was like, well, we've got all these extra parachutes from World War II. And why don't we just stick the beavers, we'll design some boxes that will pop open on impact. And we'll throw the beavers in these boxes and just chuck them out the back of an airplane when we fly over the area of the forest that we want them to live in. And they were like, oh, that's a crazy idea, man. That's actually a really fun, you are, but it's just so crazy, you know, it might work. But we should probably test this out. Let's test this out. So they looked around at all the beavers, and they're like, all right, which one of you can we, you know, is there one of these that we can afford to lose in case this goes horribly wrong? And they found an old crotchety beaver named Geronimo. And they got Geronimo, and they put him in a box, and they flew over the basin where they wanted to release him, and they chucked Geronimo out the back. And, you know, Geronimo made it. And so the operation was approved.
In preparing for the operation, beaver must be sorted for even size and weight, with one pair of beaver for each box. Ear tags are attached for future information. Into the drop box, nearly ready for that flight back into the mountains. The drop crates are loaded into the airplane. Parachutes are attached to cargo lines, and the boxes are stacked in rows along the waist of the plane. 10 boxes to a load, 20 beaver ready for the flight to Mountain Meadows. The plane makes a careful approach, ready for the drop. Now into the air and down they swing, down to the ground near a stream or a lake.
You gotta love it.
The box opens, and a most unusual and novel trip ends for Mr. Beaver. He's on his way now. His nose and his instinct tell him where to find the water. There's room here for a new home.
So it turned out it worked. On August 14th, 1948, they took off with all the crates. And over the next few days, 76 beavers were tossed out the back of airplanes and parachuted into the remote mountain basin. Geronimo got the first flight. Three young females went with him. The only beaver that didn't make it, out of all 76 of them, only didn't make it because he chewed his way out of the box halfway down and fell out of the box before it landed. So all he had to do, it was an impatient beaver. All he had to do was fucking chill out and wait a few minutes, and he wanted out. When they checked in on the beavers, they discovered that every beaver, after 1 year, had already built a dam, stored food, and started a colony. See, this is a perfect example of white people doing something that you wouldn't expect to work. It sounds kind of crazy. Like, well, hold on, wait a second. We're going to get 76 beavers and chuck them out of an airplane in parachutes over the... That doesn't seem like something that that would work. Well, it worked. It worked because white people are fucking awesome. Speaking of parachuting out of airplanes, from what I understand, the pilot that was shot down in Iran has been recovered. Or at least that's what the news was saying right before I went live. Let's see here. I haven't even watched this. I just downloaded it.
That is according to two senior U.S. officials and multiple well-placed sources in the region. The weapons systems officer, we're told, ejected along with the pilot when their F-15E Strike Eagle went down. They were flying and they were struck on Thursday night. There's been for the last 48 hours, there's been a manhunt for the weapons systems officer who used SEER training, survival, evasion, resistance, and escape training to evade capture. He hid on an elevated ridge after hiking away from the wreckage and put out an emergency beacon, but it took these last 2 days for the rescue teams to actually reach him because there were so many Iranians trying to also reach him. Iran had put out a reward for finding the American. I understand there was a massive firefight as well as a number of aircraft that had to be destroyed. We reported on Friday that two helicopters as part of the rescue efforts were hit, and some of the crew members on those rescue helicopters were injured. We also now know more details about the A-10 Warthog that crashed on Friday in Kuwait. It was part of the rescue mission. It was flying cover and firing suppressive cover to try and keep the crowds away, both from the wreckage as well as to protect the airman who was hiding in that what we now know was an elevated ridge. But right now we are told that a lot of the details will not be coming out because it was such a complex mission, and but we can report now that both the second crew member of that F-15E and all of the rescue teams are safely out of Iraq.
So no no hostage situation. There was a lot of talk that that was going to happen, and that was going to fundamentally change the dynamic. I'm not sure how. Having one hostage isn't like, I mean, I don't know. I don't think that would have like been the bargaining chip that people thought it would be. But I guess they evac'd everyone out of there. So that happened just before I went live, or at least that's what that happened today. Or it was reported today. In other news, this is horrifying.
My name is Jessica. I am 38, and I am addicted to having abortions.
What Jessica is doing is not technically illegal, but it is incredibly concerning.
I just love the feeling of it. I met this guy on Facebook dating. We don't have intercourse. He kind of just does it in a cup, and then I do this method where I lay on my back with an injection tool. It's been a really good relationship because he also pays for it.
To date, I've probably spent a little over $12,000 on abortion procedures.
I've had 56 abortions so far, and I'm actually gonna be 57 here in a couple weeks. If I did end up having a child, it would just be so that I can raise them so that they can get pregnant and then we would continue, because I don't ever see myself stopping.
So there's that. yeah, I mean, part of me, I'm like, is it maybe rage bait? Is it maybe not real? But I think it's real. This is TLC's My Strange Addiction. Let me see if this is real. Let me see if I can find confirmation that this is real. Because it's one of these things where I'm like, I know it's bad out there, but is it that bad now? Yeah, well, it's supposedly real. Supposedly real. So there you go. It's not a rage bait thing, is she exaggerating for the show? Maybe, but this was a real guest on TLC's My Strange Addiction, and this is her real claims. So it's not like a twisted comedy sketch or something like that. There are just people like this out there. And why wouldn't there be, right? At this point, why wouldn't there be? Like, It's hard to be shocked at this. I'm still a little bit shocked, though, if I'm being honest. I'm still a little bit I am. But this underscores what I've been talking about a lot recently, that there are people in our population that need to be removed. That need to be removed. She needs to be aborted. And so does the guy that's helping her. And really anyone related to her, I think. That just, I mean, we just need to, We really need to clean house with the genetics. We have become such a genetic mess that it's gonna be brutal. It's gonna be brutal. We're gonna have to really cull a lot of people. Or this is just the beginning of the hell. This is just the opening act for what we're in store for. What else did I see when I was trying not to vomit on my computer? Oh, another one of these. I mean, this isn't really much of a story. But it's just like I was saying, I said this the other day. I was like, man, these used to be very rare accidents. And when they happened, it was like national news because it was so rare. Like, oh my God, a truck got hit by a train. It's multiple times a week now. Multiple times a week. Multiple times a week. Every week. I mean, as far as I've seen, there are several of these every month, and one or two a week. It's kind of insanity. And there have been people that they've brought up the possibility. Well, is this maybe some kind of weird form of espionage or sabotage, right? Like, do like the Jeets, I don't know if this was a Jeet necessarily, but if it was, I mean, oftentimes it is. Are they, in fact, doing this intentionally? And I don't think they are. Like, that's the problem. I think people are, like, not prepared for, like, how bad this is going to be. The incompetence is so bad, it seems intentional. Because for this level of incompetence to consistently come from white people, it would have to be intentional. Because white people just, I mean, we have some dumb people, obviously. But they usually don't get hit by trains. Not so much in India, they get hit by trains all the time. It's like a national pastime getting hit by trains in India. So you bring in a bunch of Indians to drive your trucks, they're going to get hit by trains. It's kind of what they do. But there are people that think that, oh, this, the only way this could be happening is if this was on purpose. No, this is just what it's going to be like now, buddy. You're just going to have people getting hit by trains all the time. So, yeah. Anyway. Oh, this pod, I downloaded, I haven't watched this. I saw this. And this was something actually Ann Coulter, of all people, had retweeted. It's a story from 2013 discussing, because we talk a lot about the Indians and we talk a lot about the Mexicans, but there is also a lot of Asians that come here, and it's very organized. Very organized the way that they do this. What's it called? Like, tourism or something like that. Where they wait till they're like 9 months pregnant, and then they get a travel visa to go on vacation in America, and then oops, had a baby.
It's called birth tourism. Women with money, women with child, who fly here to give birth to a brand new American citizen. They stay in what are called maternity hotels, and under our 14th Amendment, their babies automatically become U.S. citizens because they're born on American soil. This is legal, it is lucrative, and...
By the way, as far as I know, the birthright citizenship executive order, which I suspect will be struck down by the courts, but who knows? I don't even think it stops this. I think it only stops illegal immigrants, but let me make sure here. The executive order would only target it only goes after people who are unlawfully in the country. So stuff like this, where they're technically legally in the country, it still works. Let's see here. Oh, wait, maybe not. Maybe I might be wrong. Let me just double check here. Child's father is not a U.S. citizen. Okay. Child's mother was present on a lawful but temporary basis. And child's father is not a U.S. citizen. Okay, so here's what it would do is if both parents are foreign, I guess it actually would stop some of this. So if both parents are foreign, and I would assume a lot of people doing this is the case, and they're here on a temporary visa, like a tourist visa or something like that, then it would stop them. So it would stop them. However, I don't know that it would stop. Let's see here. It applies to tourist visa, student visa. That's good. That's a lot of those people. But again, I don't think it's going to be held up, so it doesn't really matter. But if it were to be held up, work visa like H-1B, that's also really good for obvious reasons. So let's see. This is what's going on in 2013. But by the way, this is the same. This is something that's still going on.
And tonight, Kate Snow revisits the story.
They look like mini mansions, luxury single-family homes lined up in this upscale suburb of Los Angeles, a quiet, sunny street. But spend some time in front of that pink stucco home with the white van out front, and there are clues that something unusual is going on here. Pregnant women, lots of them, coming and going. Behind that suburban facade, a controversial business is operating. It's all perfectly legal, but the owners would rather stay under the radar. The same thing is happening across the country, on the outskirts of New York City, and we're about to get a tour of what few Americans have ever seen. The owner, Katie, agreed to show us around, but asked us not to use her last name.
All right, you show me the way.
Okay, let me show you my baby room.
So all the babies are upstairs, right?
Yes, right now the nine babies upstairs.
Oh, yeah. My goodness.
Look at all these babies.
Yeah. I don't want to say anything loud. Look at all these babies.
She's, I mean, holy shit.
It's big baby.
So adorable.
Yeah, she's younger baby.
Yeah, she's 4 days old, right?
Yes.
And his name
is? She's boy, Lee.
So that says Lee right there?
Yes.
The wealthy Chinese parents of these babies have no intention of staying in the United States. They're here just to get American citizenship for their baby. As soon as they secure a U.S. birth certificate and passport for their newborn, they'll fly home to China, having spent as much as $30,000 on airfare, lodging, and medical expenses.
So where's his mom right now?
Shopping.
It is instant American citizenship, sold by an industry called birth tourism.
So that's the kind of thing that the Chinese are doing. The sneaky Chinese. But the unfortunate thing is we have a Supreme Court made up of faggots. It's like more than 60% Catholic. You've got one Jew, one nigger on it, who's just like, you know, dumb as a box of rocks. And then the only, I think non-Catholic, was raised Catholic, Kavanaugh is technically, they said that he claims he's Episcopalian now, but he was raised Catholic, but literally every other person's a Catholic. And, that's so if when they strike this down, this is my question, Catholics. When and if they strike this down, do we do the same graphics that we do with Jews? Right? You know, when we do those graphics, like Kanye was waving around with all the heads of all the media industries with the little Star of David on him. Do we start making graphics of like the Supreme Court with like the Vatican City seal on them? Do we do that? I'm just wondering. Because pretty sure that that female Catholic woman that Trump put on the court, if nothing else, she's going to torpedo it. Because she's part of this problem. She brought in, I think, from Haiti. Aren't her black kids literally like part of this exact problem that's on the screen? Didn't she like bring in import? She imported nigs into the country too. Could have had a white kid, you know. Could have had a white kid, but I think she imported them. Let me see. I'm pretty sure she got him from Haiti or something. Yeah, Amy Coney Barrett's. Yeah, Haiti. So she imported them from Haiti in two separate instances. So it's not like, you know, something happened in Haiti and we have to take the kids. No, she got one of them in 2004 after seeing the difficult conditions they were living in. They were like, honey, we have to get ourselves one of them. We have to get ourselves one of them black babies. Look at those difficult conditions they're living in. And then they, after they bought that baby, again, like 5 years later in 2010, around the same time, I guess Hillary Clinton was trying to smuggle babies out of Haiti. She went down and scooped herself up another one, the boy. And, yeah. So she herself has imported two black babies. Well, they're not even babies. Judging by what they look like now, and if they got them in 2010, I don't know, maybe they were kind of youngish. Let's see you guys want to see a photo of this happy family? Let's see here. Oh, it's not a photo they want you to see. It does not pop up very easily. At least not the one that has her whole family. Let me see. Here we are. Yeah, look at this happy family. Something tells me that this family... Oh, it looks normal until I zoom it out so you can see them, right? Like, that's what the family should look like right there. Like, that's what it should look like. Ruined. Oh, boy. Why are her daughters all fat? Maybe you should be worried about your daughter's fucking weight problem and not getting more NIG kids. So this is the hands of that executive order, or she's the one that the executive order is in the hands of. I have a hard time believing that she's going to hold it. And like I said, even if she does, it doesn't matter. The second there's a different president, it just gets waved away. Gets waved away. So anyway. Anything else you guys want to talk about? Sorry, I was just trying not to fucking throw up. I feel a little better, but I've been sipping on Coke without peanuts. and Pepto. We got a big old thing of Pepto-Bismol here. And I feel a little better. Let's take a look at... at Hyper Chats. We got Love and the Vision as always. Love and the Vision as always. Using the Hyper Chat system over on Odyssey.
White fucking power.
All right. Love and the Vision says, Devin, you missed my super chats on Last Outlaws, so I'll repeat them here. I'm not a flat earther, but Artemis proves space travel is not a white man's accomplishment. What are you talking about? The ethnic diversity of the crew is truly amazing. It's enough to make me think that's an April Fool's stunt. I mean, just because they dragged some nigs along with them this time doesn't mean that white people didn't invent space travel. Of course we invented space travel. That's like saying that flight isn't a white accomplishment because now we've got nigs in planes. I mean, we still invented the planes. We invent everything. We invented planes. We invented trains. We invented cars. We invented space travel. Are they going to send nigs to Mars? They absolutely will. And unless we're able to stop them, they're going to do that. They are going to put nigs on the fucking moon. They're going to put nigs in space, and it's a travesty. And we should try to prevent that from, the last thing we need is nigs in space. It's the very last thing we need. And they found the most boomer bait nig in the world. Oh my God. Like the shit this guy's saying. Like, and it's so obvious that's what he's there for. The whole, like, I hope people don't judge me by the color of my skin someday, and they just see me as part of the human race. Like, he's saying shit like that. Like, it's so obvious that, like, that's why he's there. He's there. I'm not sending them out in space. They're in space. Okay? They're in space, but that doesn't change the fact that he's there for propaganda purposes, obviously. And he's saying all the right things. He's saying all the things like that all the boomers that love space love to hear a black guy in space saying. I wish I could find a clip of that. And Christians love it too, because he went like, I guess, Christian mode when they asked him about Easter or something like that. I didn't see the clip. I saw the clip being posted. Let me see if I can find the, I did see the clip where he's like, actually, it's not a black or white thing. It's a human race thing. Let me see if I can find that. Oh, Well, I'm just going to play the audio because you'll be able to hear it.
And from up here. Well, the first thing I would say is trust us, you look amazing. You look beautiful. And from up here, you also look like one thing. You know, Homo sapiens is all of us, no matter where you're from or what you look like. We're all one people.
That's not even the clip I was thinking of. But that's another one. I haven't seen that one. So he's still doing this. Here it is. This is the clip I'm thinking of.
It is a big question, and I want to highlight, I guess, maybe one facet of this is the tension, I call it. I live in this, you know, this dichotomy between happiness that a young woman can look at Christina and just physicalize her passion or her interest, or even if it's not something she wants to do, she can just be like, girl power, and that's awesome. And that young brown boys and girls can look at me and go, hey, he looks like me and he's doing what? And that's great. I love that. But I also hope we are pushing the other direction, that one day we don't have to talk about these first, that one day this is just, and I listen to this, that this is the human history. It's about human history. It's the story of humanity, not black history, not women's history, but that it becomes human history.
I mean, the boomers, they love that. This is like, man, the boomers have never had a base black guy that they could love more than that guy. He's an astronaut, and he's doing all the boomer-based black guy talking points. Let me see if I can find his Easter thing. I saw boomers gushing about the Easter thing. Let's see here. What's his name? Victor Glover. Victor Glover Easter. Let's see if I can find that. Here it is.
I'm glad you brought that up, though. I think these observances are important, and as we are so far from Earth and looking back at, you know, the beauty of creation, I think for me, one of the really important personal perspectives that I have up here is I can really see Earth as one thing. And, you know, when I read the Bible and I look at all of the amazing things that were done for us who were created, it's you have this amazing place, this spaceship. You guys are talking to us because we're in a spaceship really far from Earth, but you're on a spaceship called Earth that was created to give us a place to live in the universe, in the cosmos. I think maybe the distance we are from you makes you think what we're doing is special, but we're the same distance from you, and I'm trying to tell you, just trust me, you are special. In all of this emptiness, this is a whole bunch of nothing, this thing we call the universe. You have this oasis, this beautiful place that we get to exist together. I think as we go into Easter Sunday, thinking about, you know, all the cultures all around the world, whether you celebrate it or not, whether you believe in God or not, this is an opportunity for us to remember where we are, who we are, and that we are the same thing, and that we got to get through this together.
I mean, that's like boomer orgasm shit right there. Those are the talking points you're getting from the base black guy in space right now. So I get your point. I get what you're saying. I do get what you're saying, but it's still a white achievement just because they're letting him tag along. Does not change the fact that it's a white achievement. Absolutely. They're trying to get the boomers excited. And Love and a Vision says, I agree. It's important to talk about the Jews. The Jews are responsible for so much that is evil in the world. By the way, can I get the Super Jew tracks on vinyl? No, but I could play one of them maybe like right now. Do I still have Super Jews somewhere? Super Jews. Is this the right one? I made a bunch of them. I don't know if this is the right one.
Super Jews, we are fighting the going threat. Super Jews, we won't let this going get our money. Super Jews, you better watch out. We fight for justice, we will punch you out like Mike Tyson if he won.
Ah, yeah, Super Jews. Super Jews! And then Love Division says, my questions with the moon landing revolve around things like astronauts' behavior after the event. See, that's the other thing. What that amounts to, like, it doesn't seem like they would act like that after going to the, what would you know? like what would you know? It would be like what they should be acting like after they got from back from the moon. The fact that the film production was a reenactment, it's not a reenactment. What film, I don't know what you're talking about with that part. But was presented as actual documentation. Then there's the question of the lack of funding. I don't know what you mean by that. There's the film that came back from Apollo 11 was, and you can download all of it too. That's the thing. It's all available. And the images are high res images are available. And I mean, there's so much of, that you can just download and look at. It's not a reenactment. It's obvious, like it's real. Now the one thing that's a legitimate complaint, but it's not like a, and so therefore it didn't happen. But the only legitimate complaint, and this is just more of, again, it's understanding the environment. One of the like, they'll say, oh, well, the original footage is missing. And it's not, you have to understand. I mean, it is and it isn't. You have to understand the process that was, of getting video from the moon to Earth with the limited bandwidth that they were using, in those radio signals that we were talking about. And one of the things they had to do was they had to transmit the video in a format, slow scan, format that wasn't compatible with NTSC video that was being broadcast, like on television. And so the low-tech solution they came up with, because there just wasn't like an adapter that existed to do this, is they had a monitor that would play the slow scan images coming from the radio signal that after it was decoded, and they had a television camera focused on the slow scan monitor, and then that would, in a sense, convert it from slow scan to NTSC. I mean, it was like a way of nigger rigging it, but it worked. And so the data tapes that were archiving the slow scan images coming from the transmission were eventually archived and then lost at some point. But we have the video of that converted to NTSC video. And you can complain that, well, obviously some quality is lost in that process. But that's like saying, okay, I used to work, do contract work with government agencies that had archival footage and all kinds of, it was always a nightmare. And in an organization like NASA, it's also going to be a nightmare. And it's not like, oh, we lost all this important data. No, they had backups of everything, including, like I said, the tape that converted to NTSC. In fact, they didn't even know it was missing until like the 90s. Because there was no reason to have that slow scan version until some group wanted to do a documentary and said, well, I bet that, you know, you'd save a generation, right? Like, because you would. There'd be slightly higher quality if you digitized from the slow scan stuff. Now that it was, you know, several decades later and like something like that actually existed where you didn't have to shoot you didn't have to point a camera at a monitor. You could actually feed the signal and digitally process it. And then, you know, and they're like, well, wouldn't that be slightly better quality than this other stuff we got? And they're like, I guess. And they looked for it. They couldn't find it. But it's not like, oh my God, that proves it's all fake. And it's like, well, first of all, that wasn't the only Apollo mission. And we had much more footage of the other Apollo missions. In fact, in color, you know, much better quality. And the movements of the astronauts and everything else, it all matches up with what you would expect from the, or what you saw in the first one. And so just because you're basically, they're complaining that you don't have a slow scan signal backup, but we have the NTSC converted and the conversion that was taking place live, by the way, right? So is that a fuck up that they blanked out a bunch of tapes? First of all, yeah, but second of all, super understandable at a government agency when you're talking about gigantic fucking tapes that were used to back up all kinds of data, and then at some point were mothballed somewhere, like in that scene in Indiana Jones where they put the Ark of the Covenant somewhere. You know, it's like it's not like as big of a deal as people would try to make it out to be. So yeah, anyway, that's like the only, so far, like everything I've watched from people, that's like the only one where it's like, or at least that's like a thing, right? At least that actually is a thing to complain about. It's not, you know, given everything else, it's not really relevant in my opinion, but at least it's a thing, you know? But trying to say, well, but they acted weird. Well, maybe they're just weird guys. Like, what do you mean? Like, you don't think that it'd be weird to go to the moon and be like this superstar and you're one of the only people in the, well, you're, you know, one of the handful of people since the dawn of time to have walked on the moon. I mean, what, how do you want them to act? You know, people are, you have no frame of reference. You know, it's not like you knew Buzz Aldrin and he changed when he came back. How do you know? Was he like Uncle Buzz? Uncle Buzz came back and he was all weird after. Or are you listening to people on YouTube that are saying, oh yeah, he used to be like this and now he's like this. Trust me, bro. You know, because that's where a lot of this is coming from. Well, so-and-so said that he used to be like this, but now he's like this. And it's like, but do you know him? Do you know the guy? Are you just listening to the moon guy that has already said like 50 other debunkable things? You know, and he's just looking for reasons to back up his theory. So that's part of the problem too, is a lot of the stuff that the moon people have a problem with, it's not something that I can even research, you know, cause it's just like, well, it just feels off. Well, what am I supposed to do with that? You know? Like how do I make it not feel off for you? You know what I mean? So it's just, that's part of the problem too, is I'm watching like these 3.5 hour long documentaries and it's like that there'll be like 10 minutes where like, doesn't that just feel off to you? And you're like, no, but you know, I guess it does to you. Like, how am I supposed to make you not feel off about it? You know what I mean? So I don't know. But yeah, that's the thing. So far, there's no like smoking gun. There's no like, aha, and therefore, you know, this is the thing that really, this is the really big thing that really makes you think that they, you know, they faked it all. I haven't seen it yet. Like I'm waiting for like the thing where I'm like, oh, okay, well, like I can't explain that. Like that hasn't happened yet. Hasn't happened yet. All right, let's go to Entropy. Oh, wow. Oh, we got some generous donos on Entropy. We got another Beehive name winner here. Let me get that list up. In fact, I gotta add some of the list that I wrote down during Outlaws. Quinn Kester. I have to add them to the digital list here. Let's see. Here's the Beehive list. But also, we've got Rivers of Blood. Rivers of Blood is joining the Beehive. Or are you on already on there? Actually, let me look at it. No, I don't think you're already on. You are joining the Beehive list, Rivers of blood with your big Christmas donut. I'm stalling because I'm looking for the Christmas donut button. How am I not finding the Christmas donut button? Oh, there it is.
Children, today we'll be reading the best Christmas ever. Our story begins with
the Magic Negro.
Christmas tree on
Christmas. This is Christmas.
Motherfuckers!
Where did the snowman go?
All right. Rivers of Blood says, received some unexpected money from my dad. Figured I would save most of it and pay it forward to one of my favorite content creators. Really enjoying your new show with Rebecca. Keep up the great work. Pancucks and Moon Landing Deniers BTFO. Well, I appreciate that, Rivers of Blood. You didn't have to do that. You'll have a beehive with your name on it for sure. Like I said, I'll do like a proper moon one when I'm not feeling vomity. I think it was that Coke and peanuts, but I don't know. Maybe it wasn't. Maybe they're poisoning me. Maybe it's what's that Russian poison they always use? It's not. I wanted to say plutonium, but I know that's not right. What's the? I don't know. Maybe they're killing me. But yeah, I'll have a proper one, right? I'm going to go through like, I don't know, at least 10, maybe more. I'm going to go through like the ones that get posted underneath my tweets. Because as I said on Twitter, Flat Earth is fucking totally retarded. The moon one I have a little more sympathy for because I myself was like, oh, that's weird. And they could have faked. I thought they could have faked it for like a little bit, and then as soon as I started looking into it, I was like, "Oh, never mind. This is all dumb." But until you look into it, and sometimes, just like honestly, part of it, like even with the Flat Earth stuff, I still think it's retarded. But I do think that working in 3D space, doing 3D animation and 3D modeling as much as I did, it made it. And the ham radio stuff, it makes it extra retarded to me because there's just so many concepts that I deal with on a regular basis, whether you're talking about, you know, refraction, camera lenses and all that other stuff, or the great circle maps, or yeah, like there's real world things that I deal with all the time that confirm to me that flat earthers are retarded, you know, like on a daily basis. The moon stuff, it's a little more technical. It's a little more technical. But, you know, it's also, honestly, if you take the time to actually start looking into it, it's not as, like, these guys are just grifting liars. That's the problem. Is it's not like, oh, this really smart guy. He's just, he's bringing up good points, and maybe they're good points. They're just the sort of thing that like we'll never be able to get to the bottom of, right? Like there's a lot of conspiracy theories like that where it's like, oh, I don't know, that's possible. Who knows? No, I have found that these guys are just liars because they'll bring up these points that maybe at first blush seem legitimate until they get a rational explanation that's clearly the explanation. It's not like, you know, some kind of weasel end run around the problem. Like they'll have like an actual question about something that maybe again, like at first you're like, oh, that sounds reasonable. And then the explanation torpedoes it completely out of the water. And they should know that. Like, if they're being honest, like, if they're actually trying to find, if they're trying to get to the bottom of this, they would know that point is no longer a valid talking point. And then that, but they use it again. And they use it again. And they use it again. No matter how many times it gets, you know, thrown in their face is stupid. So either they're really stupid, and some, maybe some of them are, but like, I just think they're liars. So I'll go through, I think, some of the big ones that a lot of people have a problem. Like, there's that footage, for example. There's a lot of people. It's another one of those examples of, like, they show you a picture and go, huh, LOL. And you're like, what? What do you lie? I don't understand. What's the funny? What's the funny? And one of those things is, like, they'll be like, LOL, camera crew. They're going to get the camera crew still on the moon because, like, who was shooting the footage? And you're like, what? You don't think that you had remote control of camera? I mean, what's weird about this to you? Like, what's weird about this that you have a remote control, like a joystick controlled camera? And you can look it up. Like, you can see the actual design of it. They were on TV showing people the camera they'd be using before they went and took it to the moon to use it. It was well known that Mission Control was controlling that camera remotely. And also, they knew the exact, like, here's the thing that people don't really, it's people that are bad at math, I think, too. They first of all, wasn't that shot where the camera tilts up and as the LEM, I guess, goes back up to dock with the lunar orbiter. That wasn't the first time they attempted that shot. They fucked it up multiple times before they got that shot that everyone's like, oh, too perfect. And the reason why they got it right with that shot is they were like, look, the motor that tilts up, it's not a, it's a fixed rate. It's not like, you know, like the more you push on the joystick, the faster it goes. No, it's either turning up or it's turning down or it's turning left or it's turning right, but it's at a fixed rate. And so it doesn't take a whole lot of math for people who work at NASA, if they know the distance between the spacecraft and the camera, and they know exactly the time that the spacecraft's going to take off, and they know exactly the rate at which it's going to, because they already know all this information. So it doesn't take a whole lot of math, really, to know that, okay, if there is a 1.5 second delay or whatever it was for them to, between the time they move the joystick and it actually, you know, starts moving the camera out, but whatever that time delay was, right? And that's, well, by the way, also a known quantity, right? So they know how long that takes. And so they know that, okay, if you're the guy that's in mission control that's getting that shot, all you have to do is instead of at zero, when you hear them say 8 or whatever, that's when you start pushing back on the joystick and you know that you're going to get the shot. Because the rest of it's all math. And not even that's complicated of math. People just suck at math now. They don't realize that that's actually pretty easy to calculate that out. But people hate that shot for some reason because they can't fathom that there would be, you'd have remote controlled cameras. What? What's so hard to understand about remote controlled cameras? That's not high tech. It's not high tech. Or they'll say, like, oh, yeah, look, rainbow-colored confetti. It's like, no, that's clearly an artifact. I mean, RGB, right? Like, that's not – you can tell that that's a artifact of motion. And the format, again, just like with the slow-scan TV that they used in Apollo 11, and they had to, you know, shrink the bandwidth that the – television broadcast use, so they went with the, you know, the shitty black and white slow scan. Same thing with the color stuff. There was a format they developed so that they could have color video but still fit within the bandwidth restrictions that they had in order to make those transmissions work. And the those rainbow colored artifacts are exactly what you see when there's things moving quickly. Because of the we'll go into detail, but, like, it's pretty clever the way they got color to work, it's clever and also kind of janky, but, like, it makes sense that anytime you'd have any fast motion, you'd have, like, these rainbow trails. And so that's exactly what you would see when you have that kind of, a detonation, which the detonation was they were blowing up bolts. They blew up all the bolts that held the lander to the LEM, or you know, whatever, the bottom part to it. And so they had explosive bolts go off, and that was bits of bolt, and then they had the ignition of the rocket. And then people will say, like, well, how come you can't see the rocket? I'm like, again, that's your expectation. Because of why? Is it because you often are on the moon watching rockets take off? Or is it because you've played video games and you watch Star Wars and you've seen movies where there's fire coming out of the rocket? I mean, you're aware. Yeah, especially, and this is funny because the same people that will say, well, you can't ignite, you can't have thrust in a vacuum. It's like, well, you can. But those same people, you would think they would have watched, if they're so worried about like all the sudden thrust stops working in space, they would have watched the camera angles of the rockets that use the same kind of fuel. That once they get out of the atmosphere, the visible flame, and we're talking about rockets that are way, way, way more powerful than the rocket that's, you know, shooting them back up to the lunar orbiter. You know, you're going from a heavy, heavy lift rocket, you know, that's breaking free of the Earth's gravitational pull, and the second it's out of the atmosphere, that the visible flame trail behind the rocket becomes transparent. And you're talking about something that has maybe, a tiny fraction of thrust compared to that rocket, and totally different exposure conditions. Taking off, going back up to from a sixth of Earth's gravity back to the lunar orbiter. But it shouldn't look like that. Why? Why? Tell me why it shouldn't like that, other than it seems like there should be fire shooting out of the bottom. Again, because you've seen that in movies. Because you've seen that in video games. I mean, what are you basing that on? Why, how about instead of saying my expectation would be that fire would be shooting out of the bottom and I'm observing this, why might fire not be visibly shooting out of the bottom? Maybe I should investigate that. No, they leap immediately to, therefore the moon landing didn't happen because my expectation was this and that's not what I observed. So therefore my expectations can never be flawed. The moon landing has to be fake now. But we'll go into detail with this footage. It's just, I mean, all the things that people complain about, it just doesn't make any sense to me. Like it's almost not 100%, but I'd say like 99% of these things are just, it's not understanding basic things about the technology. It's 99% of the time. Sometimes there is something that's like, it makes me think for a second, like, I don't know. Let me look into that. And then you look into it and you're like, oh, well, that makes sense. That makes sense, actually. You know, there's no, at least so far, like maybe at the end, they're saving it for the end of the movie. I've only made it through like 2.5 hours of that fucking 3.5 hour long movie. But so far, unless they're saving the best for last, I haven't seen anything where I'm like, oh, that's really weird. But anyway, thank you, Rivers of Blood. And again, you'll definitely get the beehive there. And then we got Simbi. Simbi says, how much does it cost to run an ad per Outlaws episode? Also, Insomnia Stream Enjoyer Anonymous Fat Guy humbly asked for you to review the movie Betrayed. made in 1988 loosely based on the order. Didn't we do that? I thought we had done that. Let me look this up. I thought we had done it. As far as the ad, Rebecca handles that. You'd have to reach out to her on X. She's going to hate that I'm doing that, but that's her job. Let's see here. Betrayed. 1988. We didn't do this one. I don't know. Which one is this one? This looks different than the one I was thinking of. See if I can play the trailer. I hate that it doesn't recognize it. Hang on. Do a little trickaroo, get it to play. We'll get it to work. I don't think I've done this one. We did some, there was a made for TV. You know what? I still haven't even seen The Order, like the new one they did recently. But they made a made for TV one that I know we covered. All right. Here's the trailer for it.
I'm afraid I'm being sent on a wild goose chase, sir.
You got over 100 people in the case, sir. You got nothing. As far as we're concerned, Gary Simmons is a real long shot.
I'm Gary. Hi.
Dad, his ex-wife, war hero. Are you gonna hold all this against the guy?
The guy smells too good. He's perfect for the part.
Oh, looks like they honeypot him, huh?
Say it.
I love you.
Daddy said we don't have to have no secrets no more.
What secrets?
Ah, she's a little sneaky little bitch fed, huh?
They're all friends of ours. He's all helping us, looking out for us.
Fucking race training bitch.
I can't go back in.
We'll never find the body.
I feel dirty.
How many others do you think they're gonna kill? And how dirty do you think you feel if you didn't do anything about it?
That's right, Jew.
I'm in too deep, Michael. My loyalties are all screwed up. I can't stand it anymore.
I never said you had to sleep with him, did I?
I didn't sleep with him. To him.
You have to go back in.
Dun, 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 dun. Betrayed. Well, it could be good. I should, I need to see the new one too. I definitely need to see the new one. All right, then we got Minnesotan. Says, happy Passover, Devin. The Kai holiday that celebrates killing every firstborn goy in Egypt. The Jewish religion is abhorrent and evil. Anyone who learns about the God they worship would surely be revolted. Doesn't it seem like every Jewish holiday is about a genocide of some sort? And I'm not just saying, like, I think for real, right? Isn't, like, pretty much every one of their holidays, like, oh, this is when we wiped out these people. This is when we wiped out these. I mean, I kind of wish the Holocaust was like a holiday. At least then it would be flipped around a little bit. And, well, and just as fictional. Then we got Dylan from Canada. Dylan from Canada with a big dono. All right, Dylan from Canada says, "Hey, Devin, I thought I'd chip in towards Churro's vet bills." Well, I appreciate that because that was not—it was not cheap. Yeah, and he's been gone for a day. That motherfucker. He went out last night. Has not come back yet. And that's again. That just to me, I feel like that just means he's back to normal. But I still hate it. I want him to come back. I'm sure that wasn't cheap. So. Great to hear you take care of that cat. Hope he's feeling better. May God bless you. Also, really enjoying Outlaws. You and Rebecca make a great team. Well, I appreciate that. Yeah, it's a good show. Especially like the last one we did. But they've all been pretty good. And they're only going to get better. And so, and I like the new time slot too. I know there's Europeans that don't like it. But it just makes it. I don't know. There's something wrong about doing anything at noon. So, thank you very much, Dylan from Canada. And I know we made fun of, or at least I made fun of Canadians recently on Outlaws. And obviously, it's all jokes, guys. It's all jokes. Put your syrup down. It's all jokes. All right. Then we got Minnesotan says, "Space exploration is among the greatest accomplishments of white people. By denying these accomplishments, the flat earth tards are fundamentally anti-white. It implies whites are incapable." Well, it's also, if you notice, a lot of what these people are saying about those whites that were accomplishing all these things, they're basically, not only are they saying they didn't do it, they're making them out to be like worse than Jews. Like they're calling them like satanic, you know, weirdo, I don't know what the every, you know, backstory that these guys have cooked up, but like I've heard everything from like, oh, that they were a bunch of Satanists that were trying to destroy Christianity with a space program. It's like, no, that's not, no. But you know what I mean? Like they don't just take away their accomplishment. They attribute evil to them. And so that's, you know. Then we got Sarah Duguay says, "People who fall for flat earth or moon landing conspiracies aren't unlike the peasants in Apocalypto, where the ruling class used eclipse knowledge to appear godlike. Those unable to assess scientific claims often fall prey to manufactured authority." You know, that's the thing too. It does kind of make them feel like it's almost like, what's the point of fighting these people? You know what I mean? Like, if you think that they're masters of deception to that level, to where, like, they're hiding the shape of the fucking earth, and everyone is so indoctrinated by the globe deception taught in schools, or, you know, whatever crazy version that they believe, it's like, why would you even try to fight these people? If they're that powerful... And they're that effective to where they can, everyone but you and your little secret clique of weirdos, everyone is under their spell. What's even the point, you know, of fighting them? The other thing is too, this for real, I don't understand. Like, what would be the point of hiding that? If I found out that the earth was flat tomorrow, I would have a lot of questions about like how anything works. Because it wouldn't make any sense anymore from a scientific standpoint. Like, nothing would make sense. It would just be like, what? Nothing makes sense. But aside from that, you know, like, in terms of all of those major problems, I wouldn't care. You know, like it wouldn't affect me at all. It wouldn't. Oh my God, it's flat. In that case, what exactly? You know, and honestly, even at this point, and this is kind of sad. After everything else that we have found out about our ruling class in recent decades, and how desensitized everyone has become. Like literally, people are just kind of they're just like, oh, I guess they all fuck kids, and you know. And, you know, they're all Jew slave pedophiles. I mean, that's not an uncommon belief. There's a substantial amount of Americans who 100% believe they're being ruled by, Jew slave pedophiles that eat babies and stuff. Well, if you found out they faked the moon landing, would it really... I mean, it wouldn't be that shocking to anyone. People would just be like, yeah, like, figures. You know what I mean? Like, so, you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't seem, it's not worth it. You know, if it was a big secret, it's just not even worth the energy to do it. People just wouldn't care anymore. It's just like, I don't know what else we could find out about these people that would make them seem any worse. But yeah, no, 100% of it is, in my experience, it's people not understanding basic physics. You know, the example I gave where people were like, oh, you know, you couldn't have a jet or a rocket won't work in a vacuum. And it's like, it does. It's not, you know, it's a basic misunderstanding that because their experience when it comes to propulsion is it's usually something acting against something else. You know, whether it's the pistons inside your engine or the tires against the road or your feet against the ground or even airplanes, the lift created by the air flow under the wings, the flaps. You know, it's when you're within Earth's atmosphere, a lot of mechanized motion relies on interactions between things. And that's just not the case with space. And it doesn't mean that, because it doesn't work the way things on Earth work, it can't happen. It's like, no, that just, your experience is limited to things that happen on Earth. And so your expectation, because you don't understand the physics involved, is that it would work the same way, but it doesn't. And if you understood the physics behind it, you would understand why. But because these people can't just be like, you know what, there's people smarter than me. I can't wrap my head around this concept, and I have to just accept that it's because I'm kind of dumb. And, you know, I shouldn't be too worried about it. You know, like I'm no rocket scientist. there's people, and they just need to accept the fact that they're not rocket scientists. All right. And then we got Kurgan with a big dono.
Money is power. Money is the only weapon that the Jew has to defend himself with.
Look how Jewy this fag is. Kurgan says, Devin, according to Red Ice, they haven't received any payments from Entropy since January. Hoping you aren't experiencing the same issue. I am. However, I have been told, at least, that this is a consequence of they got debanked and that they will be able to make those payments to us this month. And if that doesn't happen, there's a problem because they owe me a lot of money. I will just put it that way. Because it's not for me. It wasn't just the last few months. I had a problem with how they wanted to pay me. So it's lots of months that I haven't been paid. My fault though for a big chunk of that, because I just couldn't. I had to find a way that they could pay me because they changed the way they paid you. But now there's this issue, and so I'm still not getting paid. I think it's okay. I don't think they're pulling a fast one on us. If they are, that would be really bad. But we'll deal with that if it happens. If we don't get paid, if no one's getting paid by the middle of this month, I will stop using Entropy for sure. But they said that they'd have it worked out for this month. And we're technically, it's the 5th right now. That's usually when they would start rolling stuff out. So if no one's getting paid now, we'll have to find something else, because that's going to make me wonder what's going on. But as of, at least for right now, I trust them. Hopefully that trust is well placed. But yeah, it does suck. I sympathize with them. You know, they have to deal with all the deplatforming shit that we do. So, I get it. I'm not going to assume that they're doing something wrong. I think that they are having to deal with getting deplatformed just like we do. But yeah, we'll see. According to the email they sent me last month, this month they should be able to pay people, but we'll see. I haven't gotten anything yet. All right. Thank you very much, Kurgan. Then we got Sarah Duguay says, I mentioned Mel Gibson's Apocalypto as a nod to when I first discovered you in your movie analysis days. Since then, I see films differently, and the Eclipse beheading scene really stood out for me. That was a good movie, Apocalypto. Tell you what, Mel Gibson, he knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. I guess, aren't they making like another, he's making like another Passion of the Christ? How is there a sequel to that is my question. I thought, doesn't it end on a, like a, I don't know how you make a sequel. It's one of those movies where like, Apocalypto is a good movie. So it's there's very few movies that you could watch that are not in English and it doesn't bother you. But Apocalypto is one of those movies. All right, then we got Ketzer 88. Oh, is that one? Cancer88 says, please make a Massa shirt. A Massa shirt? Is that like NASA, only Massa? And then you have the black guy that's... that would actually be kind of funny. I don't know if that's what you're saying. But it'd be kind of funny. Have the black astronaut just all doing a big dopey grin. And it says, Massa. I doubt that's what you're... Maybe that is what you're saying. Maybe I'm picking up what you're laying down. Otherwise, I don't know what you mean. But, yeah, that'd be kind of funny. All right, then we're going to go over to Rumble. Let's go to Rumble. Rumble, we got Tyler W05 says, Billy the Kid could never be Jewish. He's my uncle. Funny enough, my buddy Nick and I... Or Nick, I told you about last time, is related to Pat Garrett. Well, there you go. Are you really related to Billy the Kid? Didn't they recently find like a new, or I don't know, maybe that was an old article. I thought they found like a new photo of him. It's not that janky photo that they've had forever. Yeah, Billy the Kid would be a good material. Maybe, in fact... What was it? Yuma, is that where it all went down? Or That'd be interesting to, like, make the trek out to Yuma. I mean, that's not like a day trip by any means, but it'd be fun to, like, get, you know, get some actual footage. Get my own footage for once. Be kind of fun. I've never been out that way. And then we got St. Louis Nat says, I like your AI music. Well, I appreciate that. Yeah, some people do enjoy the sloptacular music. Actually, it's got like Pale Siren's got pretty good numbers on Spotify and on I guess on YouTube too. In fact, I got enough revenue from it, not like a ton, but enough to pay for the AI software subscription. So I'm now ahead. Which is kind of, that's kind of nice, right? It paid for itself. Not, you know, it's not roll. I'm not rolling the dough from it, but it's, I was kind of surprised. I wasn't expecting to make any money. I just thought, it would be a fun thing to do. So it's good that I've broken even with the music, but yeah, I haven't had time to make any more. I'll probably have some time maybe in the next few weeks, but I'm appreciate that. I'm glad you like it there, St. Louis Nat. Then we got Saratown. Saratown says, hope Churro is doing better. Orange cats should be their own breed. I found my orange cat in an engine. Yeah, orange cats are goofy cats. Like I said, he's been gone today. I'm sure he'll make it back here. Apparently, I can't give up hope on that guy until he's been gone for like 6 months, because he could still end up coming back the way he works. Then we got Tyler W05 says, no more bug people. Yeah, we've got plenty of bug people. We don't need any more. Words Are Word says, damn, Big Peanut got you. I'm glad I've never tried that. Yeah, I mean, it was, I saw like, I don't know why I was tempted by it. There was just so many posts about it in a row, and I made the mistake of like believing the smart guy one, where he was being very chemistry about it, and I was like, there's something to do this. I want that chemical reaction happening in my mouth, and then like, no, it's tastes like peanuts floating around in a Coke. Like there's nothing magic about it. And then we got Based Officer Jeremiah says, I grew up in rural North Carolina, and the first time I saw someone drink a Coke with peanuts was my sixth grade linebacker coach, who was a 70-year-old country nig, antique farm equipment. Am I right? Yeah, I heard that it was like a farmer thing. It had something to do with, I forget. See, this is part of my stupid quest to eat that shit was like, I even read like the weird brief history about it, but I don't remember it anymore. Then we got Gen Exterminator. Gen Exterminator says, I think whites are getting serious Negro and Jew fatigue. The Jews are trying to bring out Armageddon to bring forth their Moshiach. These people are insane. This is why there were pogroms. Yeah, I don't know that people are getting Jew fatigue. I think that some people are, but these people are not in positions of power. So will they be in power at some point? That remains to be seen. One of the things that I think that One of the things that I worry about, or don't really worry about it, but I guess I think younger people, it's cool right now to be skeptical of Jews, right? That's become like an edgy, cool thing. But because I think a lot of it is not based on a understanding of the biological reasons why they have the behavior that they have. And instead, a lot of this skepticism is based on religion, sometimes outright fantasy, or just it's not based on anything. It's just that they think it's cool to shit on Jews. Like, and I guess that's good, right? But I feel like these sort of things have a way of fizzling out when they're not properly cultivated. And I also think that people are, as we've seen with our ruling class over the last several, well, centuries, really, people are easily captured by this system that has so much to offer them, especially when so many of these same people are very status hungry, very aura hungry, you know? And so I think that, who knows, maybe long-term this has legs. I don't see it yet. I don't see it. Because we don't have any, there hasn't been a single anti-Semite, I guess, just for the sake of simple, you know, not to be too reductive, but I haven't seen any anti-Semites with power, any. And until I do, I'm just not going to think that it matters. We need to have, I mean, it's one thing if it's like, it's an edgy counterculture thing. It's another thing if it's a policy thing. And quite frankly, the policies and the powerful are quite philo-Semitic. Let's see here. Then we got Arch Stanton.
White fucking power.
Arch Stanton says, never realized there was a video of Buzz Aldrin punching that guy. So thanks for that. By the way, a quote from Candace on X, quote, it's 31 degrees outside. Why isn't the ice melting? Oh, good old Candace. Good old Candace Owens. It's below freezing. Why isn't it not freezing? she is a walking Dunning-Kruger. She is the worst. And it should tell you something that she has the most popular stream by not a small margin. That's unfortunately, that's just the situation that we're in. We have a IQ crisis. We have an aptitude crisis, and not all of it's diversity driven. We have stupid ass fucking whites out there that watch her show. In fact, the majority of her audience, funny enough, her audience is whiter than Nick's audience, according to the that article that came out back in November. Or no, I think it was older than that. But they did a study of the audience share and the demographics, and her audience was whiter than his. So that's a problem. All right, then we got Evergreen Dream says Coke and peanuts is a Deep South thing. I think they used boiled peanuts, also a Deep South thing. Maybe boiling the peanuts brings out some magic chemicals that react with the Coke. I don't know. I don't know either. I just sort of looked at them. They were fizzling around in the carbonation, but I wasn't going to wait all day. Then we got the Shogun says, kids movie idea, Pixar style, focused on the differences between European and Africanized bees. Imagine Bug's Life. Just wanted to contribute to an idea. It's not the worst idea. It might be more realistic to do like a kid's book. I have a bunch of kids' books I want to make. And if I can figure out a way of and Grok's coming a long way. I don't want to illustrate and just have like slop, nasty, you know, pictures. But now that you're able to kind of design some of your own stuff and incorporate they're making the tools better to where you can actually have create characters and then use that character consistently throughout and, you know, stuff like that. Things that I wish they'd had when I made the Whitmans. It's getting better. It's not there yet. It's not to a point where I'd want to be like, buy my slot book, but it's rapidly approaching that. And that was always the hang up for me with making kids books, where I was like, well, I'd have to find an illustrator. I could write it. And I'm not a good illustrator. But I was playing around with it the other day just to see, and I was like, yeah, it's getting close. It's getting close. So maybe. Then we got Rupert says, replay gang here. Wednesday's stream was great. Jews really think they are special people, and they are very arrogant about it. See you next time, Professor Stack. Happy Easter, HH. Well, I appreciate that. Yeah, Outlaws, 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. That was the last one was really good. I mean, there's information that that I was not. I mean, I knew I had hints of it in my research, but it's stuff I wasn't truly aware of until I was researching the Masira. I think is how they say it, Masira. If you want a little clip, you want a little taste of it, in fact. For those of you who missed it. Is this it? This might be it. I highly recommend you tune into Outlaws. And you'll get cool stuff like this. You shouldn't turn in a Jew. This is when you don't want to turn in a Jew. If you disagree with how the Goyim will punish him. So if you think that the laws of the land in the host country that you're in, you don't like them as a Jew, then you can just ignore them.
Sometimes... let's say on the books, it says that if a person violates a certain crime, so he deserves to sit in prison for 10 years. Okay, so if they'll put him in prison and the other inmates will harass him, and they'll abuse him, sexually abuse him, or the prison guards will abuse him, which is often the case in state prisons, so then I'm causing that this person should suffer more than he's legally required to suffer. So in such a situation, there will be an Isser of Masira.
Someone in the audience asks, like, well, am I allowed to rat out someone that I see commit a crime if I know that they're going to actually have to go to jail in the Goyish justice system and have to deal with, like, law enforcement? Well, if you think they're going to experience anti-Semitism, really nothing matters. They can do whatever they want.
Sometimes you'll have a situation, unfortunately, we live in the Gebenchta America, but sometimes you'll have a situation where because he's Jewish, that's where they'll punish him more than if he would have been non-Jewish. So then that's really not fair. So then he's going to be punished more than he deserves to be punished. He deserves to be punished, the same as any Nochri would have done the same out there. But if you know that there's anti-Semitism mixed in with there probably will be, we can predict in advance, there probably will be anti-Semitism mixed into the psak of the judge, then you have a problem on Masir. So all this has to be considered in advance before a person masters someone to the government agencies.
See? You can't master someone to the government agencies, no matter what the crime is. And it's excusable because every Jew is going to experience anti-Semitism if they are in the judicial system. So just a little fun thing like that. I mean, I've always been hearing from Jews my whole life that, oh, Muslims have their own little courts and they have Sharia law and blah, 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 blah. And they're doing the same shit, you know. So, yeah, check out that episode. And, of course, obviously, this Wednesday. All right, I think that's it. Let me just double check back on entropy. We've got one more on entropy. We got optimistically pessimistic says, "Hey Devin, I think a chat of mine fell through the cracks a few weeks ago. It was the stream where the Nig hijacks the plane. If you can't find it, don't worry about it. Keep up the good work." All right, let me look. Take a look. Optimistically pessimistic. How many weeks ago? I wish you would just tell me what it was. All right, now I gotta like and. Hell, I don't even know when that was exactly. Let me see here. Account. When that, I don't even know when that would have been. Would have been last month. So it might not pop up. Let's see. Change it to March. Well, from the last one I had from you, optimistically pessimistic, from that around that era was. You mentioned the Goislop Jew guy, which I did put that in my notes. And then I don't see one before that that I'm missing. Let me see. Look at the guy, Howard, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I don't see any other ones there other than that, but I added that to my notes. If you're talking about the one with the additive Jew, because I do want to check into that, because I think that as much as you know, outcomes are so genetic and behaviors genetic. Obviously, it's not our environment is not meaningless, and the Goislop problem is a real problem, and it'd be good to know the history behind that. So that's definitely in the notes. All right, guys, let me just double check over here. I think we're good. All right. Well, I hope you guys have a wonderful Easter. And if you're hanging out with your family, I'm sure they're going to be very excited. All your boomer relatives are going to be very excited about the base black guy astronaut. Talking about how he's got the whole world in his hands. Oh, my God. Anyway, you guys have a good Easter weekend, and I'll see you on Wednesday at 5 p.m. Pacific time on Outlaws. In the meantime, for Blackpilled, I am, of course, Devin Stagg.
Finish.
Blood of Jesus, see him. He's free. He's free in Jesus' name.
They are everywhere. This thing will not be joke. Look at